This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks, it's Rule 76.
Well, I wish today was a Thursday so that Rick DiPietro, the great Rick DiPietro, was opening the show with his wise remarks and his wittiness. But no, it is a Monday, and not only is it a Monday, it's a rainy, miserable Monday, almost as if God is looking down saying, I'm weeping with you. I'm weeping with you, New York football fans. It is December the 6th, 2021. Lot to do, lot of negativity, but before we get to that negativity, I say good morning to one Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. You will not bring me down. You will not. Knicks were awful. Doesn't matter. Jets didn't prepare for Gardner Minshew. Doesn't matter. Giants offense, although I'm bullish. Bullish about this offense. It's going to figure it out. Will not bring me down. Milo, well, DiPietro's my team. Two convincing wins this weekend. Two.
Nice.
Even yesterday at 4:15 on a football Sunday. I mean, what
Who
are we
schedules
doing?
These
what
games?
What are we doing?
Who schedules these games?
I can't take it. What are we doing?
I don't know.
I would rather the 7 a.m. Give me the 7 a.m. on a Sunday. I don't care. Give me 6 a.m.
If you told me you could play at 4:15 in the afternoon or 4:45 in the morning, I would take 4:45 in the morning.
All day, every day.
Right?
All day, every Sunday. I had to leave before the fourth quarter of the Jets game.
Oh, well, you missed a lot.
Oh, I didn't miss it. I had to watch. That was the best part. Coming off the high of an unbelievable win, I got to come home and watch the fourth quarter of the Jets followed up by the entirety of the Giants game.
Oh. You should get a check. Either the NFL or the local teams or someone should send you a check for sitting there and watching. To watch the games live is difficult enough. To have to sit there and DVR it, and I'm sure you knew the results, right?
Yeah, I am. I knew that. I had my father-in-law with me.
So to know the results and have to sit through what we saw yesterday, you should get combat pay or something, a stipend at least.
I should get per diem, something. Give me something.
Well, at least you should get like a ring at the door and oh, listen, we sent you pizzas. Like, you know what? There's pepperoni, there's mushroom, there's extra cheese. Because why? Because if you're willing to tape these games and watch them on the DVR, you deserve pizzas from us.
Something. Antidepressant. Something. It's amazing, too. We went from Victory Monday to now back to the same old New York football.
It is. I mean, yesterday was unbelievable how bad it was. The Jets, and I get it, the Jets' defense is bad, but how can your defense look like that? And the Giants' offense is just, it is so bad to watch. Now, I will say this. I don't know how. And I get it that the quarterback's not playing and you've got injuries, and I understand that. I do not know how there are people out there who will say, you know what, you've got to keep Joe Judge. Like, this guy is the coach that you move forward with and build around. Even if you're on the fence, how you keep Joe Judge. And all we've heard is that they're going to. I don't know how you keep this guy in this position.
Yeah, but I don't think it's keeping Joe Judge for the right reason, is it? I mean, the reason that I've heard is because they want to get back to having some semblance of continuity. And I guess, now this is what we've heard, that John Mara was disappointed that he didn't keep Ben McAdoo. And he doesn't want to make that same mistake. They don't want to go through this cycle of every 2 years trying to find a new head coach.
But Ben McAdoo led you to the postseason.
No, I understand that.
I mean, Ben McAdoo, if I said to you the Ben McAdoo era over the last decade, that is the best season you have, and it's not close. What has Joe Judge done that you look at and you say, yeah, you know what? We need, in fact, to keep this guy's head coach.
Wins and losses wise, nothing. Nothing. And
game management?
And using timeouts properly, nothing. No, but here's the thing, though. The only reason at this point, with the results that you've seen so far over the last year and now 12 games, is we don't want to continually go into every 2 years looking for a new head coach. At some point, we need to have some stability. And behind closed doors, what we don't see, because all we see is what's on the field, is that they like the message being sent through that building. That would be the only reason, because the results wouldn't give you any reason to keep him.
So you're going to keep him just because you don't want to be the team, not because you think he's great, not because you look at him and say this is the future, just because you don't want to continue to fire head coaches?
Yes.
That's the biggest loser reason I've ever heard.
Of course it is. And this is why your team has morphed into the Jets and you've been dysfunctional over the last
decade. Oof.
Yeah, we'll get down. I mean, I was going to give you the last 5 years, but we go decade if you
decade.
Want.
They have one winning season in the last decade, and it's not getting better.
No, it's definitely not getting better. I mean, your offense is an embarrassment. I don't know what's worse, watching your offense or listening to Chris Myers do play-by-play, because he's the worst.
Chris, oh, my God.
The worst.
Like it's bad enough that you have to watch that. And now you have to listen to Chris Myers do the game. It's like, why? What did I do to deserve this?
You want me to tell you why I really hate him? I mean, besides the lack of energy and everything else?
Lack of energy
is I try to take notes during these games, and I would like, especially on big plays, like give me like a yardage maybe. Like, oh, that was a Devontae Parker catch for 16 yards. Doesn't say a word. We'll never say how many yards it's for. I'm like, come on, Chris. Now I got to go on ESPN to check how many yards it was for. It's a pain in my ass.
You know who else he got? I don't know if you picked this one up yesterday because there's a lot going on. I know you're watching on DVR. He also had confusion with Lorenzo Carter.
Yeah, he had confusion the entire game. And then they're talking about, well, you know, hopefully Daniel Jones' tight neck loosens up so he can play. Come on, man. Are we really? We're going with that?
We're not going to see Daniel Jones again this year. I don't think so. Which is
the doctors are nervous. He can't get cleared for contact because he's got a stiff. Come on, man. You ain't missing a game because you have a tight neck. Like if I went to the doctor and said, "Hey, doc, yeah, I got this muscle spasm in my neck. I'm afraid you might take a hit with a spat." No, it's not. That's not why you would miss a game.
Right.
It's got to be more than that.
They said he wasn't cleared for contact.
Exactly.
You don't get cleared for contact because you have a tight neck.
No.
You might not be able to play because you're in too much pain or can't move your head. Yes, that makes sense. But not cleared for contact. Something is clearly wrong with him. I give up. Like I don't know what I've done, if I've wronged someone, if I need to apologize to someone. I give up. I'm not kidding. I hate watching the Giants. I hate it.
It's not an easy watch. It isn't. Yeah, I mean, it really isn't. Because there isn't much this team does well. They really don't. I mean, and if you had any chance in that game, and I mean, theoretically, you did have a chance. That third and six, Devontae Parker catch was the nail. Was that it?
That was a great catch, huh?
That was a great catch, but that was it. That was your chance. Get off the field there. There's just over 4 minutes left. Maybe you can find a way to score a touchdown.
Let me tell you something.
But it wasn't going to. They weren't going to score a touchdown. They weren't.
If Devontae Parker doesn't use his hands on the play and the ball hits off his helmet and bounces out of bounds and they punt the ball to the Giants, there is no way the Giants take the football, go down the field. The Dolphins could have done like in diving, you use degrees of difficulty.
Yep.
Yeah. They could have said, you know, we're not going to play with 10 guys. We're going to play with 9. We're going to play with 9 guys, and we're confident we can stop you. And I'm also confident that they could have stopped the Giants. The Giants, in a league where it's catered to the offense, can't score a touchdown. This offense is setting the game back years. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, and I understand the injuries and everything else, and no Tony, no Shepard, but still, I mean, you got your first round pick tight end, you got a second overall pick running back. I mean, Galladay did play, ends up getting dinged up.
I got Barkley dropping the ball all over the place.
Hey, 2 drops.
Oh, my God.
But that's another one of those games from him. They had the 1 carry for 23 yards and then 10 carries for 22 yards.
I've never seen what he is.
I've never seen a team have more negative run plays in my life.
They are just absolutely dreadful. And then you get the low of the loss in the game, and it's down in Miami, and there was a big giant contingent. And you're like, God, it can't get worse. And JoJo's like, hang on a second. Let me take the podium. Let me address the media just to make you feel even worse. If you haven't heard this, let's take a listen to Joe Judge. Couple of sound bites. Firstly, on the loss, here is the Giants head coach.
You credit that team. Obviously, they went out there and did enough to win the game. There's a lot of things that I saw today in the way we played. A lot of things that are moving in the right direction. A lot of things I'm very pleased with in terms of how we competed. We were able to make some stops at critical moments, able to make some good decisions. A lot of guys stepped up in different situations, but ultimately, we got to make more plays, got to take advantage of the opportunities in front of us, and got to make sure that we capitalize on opportunities when we have a chance to go ahead and make big-time, you know, swings in the game.
Is he out of his mind?
A little bit.
I mean, really? Like, does the team psychiatrist run in and be like, Joe, listen, you see me right after this. You the progressing? Things are looking good? What is he talking about?
Well, I will say this. Now, I wouldn't get in front of a microphone and start talking about that with the temperature of the fan base right now, watching especially this offense, because it's embarrassing. It really is. I mean, there was one point where your favorite Chris Myers talks about how embarrassing it is, that, and you'll remember this because I'm sure it was your favorite part of the game, where we went sack, Giants take their first timeout because the play clock's at zero, come out another sack,
yep.
And then they take the delay game penalty on 3rd and 30 with Saquon Barkley lined up at quarterback.
Yeah.
End of the third quarter. Thanks for coming.
It's a treat. Or how about as the clock is running down in the first quarter and you can take the end of the quarter, flip fields, and move on? No. Let's take, for some unknown reason, a timeout in that situation.
He likes going that way. He likes it, but that was the
elements. Well, maybe it was a big win.
Yeah. Let's. We want to keep the ball going this way. No, it's listen, there's... I mean, the one bright spot, I guess, if you want to pull something, you know, positive out of this, because I don't want to get phone calls that were being too negative, was, I mean, the Giants' defense in the second half held up their end of the bargain. They gave you a shot in the second half.
They compete.
So, but again, your offense is so bad. I mean, they're really, I don't know, it never felt like.
Because it never was.
The Giants really had a chance.
Because it never was. Here's another one. This is a treat. What makes you feel, I can't even believe he could say words like this, what makes you feel the offense is progressing here?
I think right now there's some opportunities we have as far as getting the ball down the field, pushing down the field, making plays. I like some of the plays that, you know, Evan was able to come up with, some of the contested catches Kenny was able to come up with, you know, some of the things Booker's doing with some catch and runs on the screen. You know, Kyle Rudolph's doing a good job with some of the balls getting vertical, producing first downs. There's a lot of things moving in the right direction in terms of that. I think our pass protection as a whole, although there's some plays obviously we got to look at and keep on improving on, but I'm encouraged by some of the things we're seeing out there in terms of how that group's progressing. We got to keep on doing a better job overall as a team.
How does he say that?
Is he serious?
I wonder if he's like in a roast or something. Like, how does he say these things? Heading in
the
right direction.
The pass protection was good at all.
I like a lot of that. They have 250 yards of offense. 250 yards of offense yesterday. They put up 9 points, and he sees, oh, well, Kyle Rudolph did this really well, and Evan Engram. I mean, if you didn't know, and you just heard that soundbite, what would you think the Giants did offensively?
Oh, they hung 30 on you.
Right. 23. 400 yards of offense and just didn't capitalize down at first and goal in the big moment of the game, right?
Yeah, I mean, but they scored 9 points. Nine. The pass protection was good. I mean, what game was he watching?
I mean, Mike Glennon was under duress.
He's in concussion protocol. You may have to play Jake Fromm.
Here's the thing, and I think a lot of Giants fans feel like this now. Who cares?
Well, you really? Should care. Well,
who
no, you should
who
care.
Cares?
You do not want Daniel Jones missing games. You don't.
Well, no. I want to see Daniel Jones. But if Daniel Jones isn't going to play, do I care if it's Mike Glennon or Jake Fromm? I don't care.
No, but to sit there and say with a straight face that you thought the pass protection was good. I mean, Glennon took a beating. He's now in concussion protocol. The longer that game went, the more you could see how the pressure was affecting him. He started to get happy feet in the pocket. No, man, come on. That's ridiculous.
It's disgusting.
Say something like that.
I mean, you're at the Chargers, loss. Home to the Cowboys, loss. At Philadelphia, I would think that's a loss. Then you're at Chicago, that'll be a pillow fight. And then home to Washington. I mean, there's a real chance the Giants go 4-13 this year. A real chance that they don't win another game.
I couldn't even imagine being on the defensive side of the ball right now with how bad that offense is. I mean, now we come out of the second half, we force the Dolphins 3-and-out, 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 and then a 4-0. And our offense does nothing.
Yeah, no, you had no chance. You had zero. They could have just given you possession after possession after possession, and you were not going to put points on the board. You had no chance in that game. You have no chance on the season, and now they're going to give this guy a vote of confidence. I'm done.
Let me ask you a question, too. I'm watching all these games yesterday, and I'm seeing these teams, like these desperate teams. I mean, Seattle with the fake punt.
Which is a great play call.
Like, I mean, even Denver. I mean, Denver's in the middle of this thing. Still has a chance to make the playoffs. Like, fourth down going for it. I mean, they had a 20-play drive. They get no points in the 20-play drive. But, I mean, there's a sense of desperation. I mean, do you see that from the Giants?
I don't see anything.
Nothing.
I don't see anything from this team right now.
Like, oh, no, we'll punt. We're good. We'll play the field
they
position
game. They punted fourth and four situations. You know, late. No, it's grotesque. Watching the Giants, it'll make your eyes bleed. I mean, the Lions are better than the Giants right now.
No, Dave. I mean, I can't. I mean, maybe the Jaguars. And that's with the rookie quarterback. I can't think of many teams that have a worse offense right now than the Giants.
No. It is rock bottom in the NFL. And Dave Gettleman should, I mean, just, I never want to hear from him again, ever. And I'm at the point where if they bring Joe Judge back, I am a tremendous doubter. And maybe that's unfair, but I don't think I'm alone.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if you do. What would you guess the Giants Chargers spread is this week?
Giants Chargers
in
off
LA
to, off to
Giants,
Arizona
Chargers.
Yep, off to Arizona now to train before the game. I'm going to say Giants are getting.
It's got to be at least 9, right?
Whew. I'll say 7.5.
No way.
I'll say Giants plus 7.5.
10.5.
10.5?
Yeah.
No respect. None. Oh, actually,
what respect do they deserve?
No, I should have said higher, too, because we don't even know who's playing quarterback yet.
It's going to be Jake Fromm, I'm sure.
I mean, that's just, it couldn't get any worse. If it ends up being anyone but Daniel Jones, it's just, it couldn't be any worse.
It's awful. I mean, there is very little positive to have around the Giants. What do you think the Jets are, number-wise?
No, because that's another excuse, too, for Joe Judge. Well, you know, his quarterback. I mean, with all the injuries,
of course,
quarterback
I'm sure
hurt.
He'll play that all the way. That'll be his big hand.
You guys are in a bad spot, Dave.
A bad spot. Really a bad spot. Well, you're here, Cullum, and we'll get to more calls. Giants fans are going to be beside themselves today, and rightfully so. And then the coach to have the chutzpah, which is a Yiddish word, the chutzpah, to sit there and give you, oh, I see a lot of good things with this offense. You got to be, like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's delusional at that point.
And I mean, the offensive line?
He's had some bad moments, too, with the headsets and all that other stuff. But, I mean, I don't know what game he was watching. Because, I mean, Mike Glennon got hit a lot in that game.
Offensive line was dreadful. The column is right. Saquon Barkley is just, and it gets me angry now because every time he runs the ball and dances around and loses yardage, I get angry at Gettleman. It's a disaster, is what it is. Chad in Florida. Good morning, Chad. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
It's all right. It's going.
Oh, I hear you. Well, I'll tell you what. I agree with you guys. Joe Judge, it's time for him to go. I've had it up to here with him. You know, the play that did it for me yesterday was, I don't remember what long yardage situation was. You took a timeout to prevent a delay of game. And then on the same damn drive,
yep,
they get a delay of game.
Yeah, that was the third and 30.
Yeah, I don't understand that. That guy can't manage timeouts. He couldn't manage a 7-11, to be honest. But the injuries, too, the soft tissue injuries, you know, Shepard and Tony out, the soft tissue injuries, those are killing me. This team has just, I've got up to here with this team. Losing to the Dolphins yesterday was my last straw. It's unwatchable. I cannot watch it anymore.
That's what makes it even worse.
Gettleman needs to go.
Yep. That's what makes it even worse. And thanks for the call, Chad. He's right. It is unwatchable. It's not like you're losing games 31-27. You say, boy, it was exciting, and in the end they lost. Watching the Giants is, like he said, they are unwatchable. It is grotesque.
Or it doesn't feel like it's getting any better.
It's getting worse.
Offensively, they were one of the worst. Were they the second worst team in the NFL last year offensively? And then you come into this year, and I mean, it's more the same. I mean, they're the worst red zone team in the NFL. 9 points, Dave. I mean, every rule is geared towards the offense having success in scoring points. And your team, last 3 weeks you've scored 10 points, 13 points, and 9 points. I mean, it's a problem. It really is.
It's a major problem. You're the worst offense in football right now. And the only other team that can even compete with you is Jacksonville.
But Dave, that team has a rookie quarterback with a rookie head coach, knowing going into the season that they were rebuilding and they were going to be bad. The Giants went out and spent money thinking they were going to be a team that could compete for the playoffs and be good.
Do you realize how bad their financial situation is moving forward?
Yes,
because they were all in to win this year.
Well, yeah, win and also find out whether or not they have a quarterback. Yes.
Right. So they're going to surround the quarterback with all these weapons. So we're going to have the answer. And you're going to get to the end of the year and you're not going to have the answer. Although not having it makes me think that you have it and you just don't want to face it. And the coach is what he is. It's gross.
Yeah. And what makes matters worse now, and I hate to just pour salt on your wounds right now.
I don't think you do.
Well, no, but here's the thing, though. And I do because I love you. My bubbla is that now Daniel Jones is hurt. I mean, that was, if you could get one positive thing out of this season, a lost season, we need to definitively know whether or not Daniel Jones can play.
You know, someone called me on Saturday. That was a great point. If your year, maybe it was even you on Friday. I can't remember. But if you don't know, don't you know?
Yeah, I would imagine at this point that if you don't know going into year four, then yeah. I mean, usually after the first 3 years, you have a pretty good idea what a player is going to be.
So if you don't know, maybe you do know, in fact. Let's go to Angelo in the car. Good morning, Angelo. You're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. How are you? What's up, Bert? Listen, Dave, I'm a big Giant fan like you. I threw an 11-year-old kid out of the basement because he's a Cowboy fan, my son's friend. You can't be blaming Judge. You want to blame Gettleman because he built a terrible offensive line, but what NFL team does good with no offensive line year in and year out?
The Dolphins' offensive line stinks.
The Jets' offensive line not so good.
The Jets are horrible.
But the Dolphins' offensive line is bad.
But at least the Dolphins could run the ball. The Giants can't run the ball. So therefore, you can't pay it the ball.
The Dolphins don't run the ball. Miles Gaskin and
they're better than the Giants.
No, I don't think so. Gaskin 15 for 44 yesterday. Ahmed 8 for 23. What's 44 and 23? 67? I think, right? Saquon Barkley.
The fact you have to ask me that is a problem.
Well, you know, it's early. I'm very good at math. Until it gets complicated. And then Barkley, 55. Booker, 36. That, I believe, is 91. The Dolphins can't run the ball at all. They have no semblance of a running game.
No, they keep you honest with the run. I mean, their offense is Tua getting the ball out of his hands quickly. And then, you know, Jalen Waddle, those Gesicki, now they got Devontae Parker back. Those guys making plays after the catch.
Tua looks good.
Well, for what they're asking him to do, yeah.
He looks good.
And he's distributing the football. He's accurate.
Yeah.
They got a bye, now they're playing the Jets.
They could wind up 7-7.
But see, that's another team. Yeah, their offensive line stinks. They find a way to make it work. But more importantly, they do something really well, which is play defense.
Yes. They get after the quarterback at 8.
That's the problem. I mean, the Giants really don't do anything really well.
Really well, no. Their defense is good-ish.
Yeah, but when your offense is as bad as their offense is,
not good
your defense has to be elite.
Well, you'd have to have the 2000 Ravens to be able to deal with that Giants offense. Tito in Boston. Tito, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I don't want to be a dead horse. The first caller from this morning, he hit the nail on the head. This is bad. Look, I have a 16-year-old daughter who's a Giants fan, and she don't know a lot about football. I'm a high school football coach. This much she knows. That is bad. They don't look good at all. And that's how bad it is. a 16-year-old girl who doesn't know X's and O's, like, it just don't look good. It's literally saying that. I am so done. I, like, just clean house. I mean, Daniel Jones gone, Judge gone, Saquon gone, start all over. And I want to throw a name out there, okay? He failed big time as a coach. He failed big time, but
That's
with
great.
The Raiders.
I can't wait for this one, Tito. He failed big time. Who do you have for us?
Check this out. He was 29 years old at the time, and it's Kiffin. Kiffin is totally, totally changed.
Oh, God.
You see it in him, the way he coaches and everything. He's much more mature now in everything.
There's no
he
way.
He will bring an explosive offense. You guys can disagree, but I think how immature were you at?
I'm immature now. That's not the point of maturity. Thanks for the call, Tito. It's not about being mature or immature. Do you know what would happen if Lane Kiffin came here to New York?
Yeah, I don't
large,
know. Large,
somewhat functional, complete child. Yeah. That's not about me being mature. I never debated that.
Yeah, I don't know if Lane Kiffin would work well as that. I don't think they would hire Lane Kiffin.
They would not. No. Could you see the Maras and Kiffin
no.
in a room with it?
No.
That would not. Oh, God, to be a fly on the wall of that one would be unbelievable. 1-800-919-3776. Now, when it's game time, it's Tully time. And Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey is best enjoyed with great friends during big games. So for Gangrene's December 12th matchup against the Saints, ESPN has given away a grand prize VIP reservation for six with food and beverage at the Stumble Inn on 2nd Avenue in New York City. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN. You'll be one of 10 qualifiers to win a $50 Fanatics gift card and be in the running to score a game day out on us, all from 98.7 ESPN. Let's spend a couple minutes on your Jets, and then we'll just kind of go back and forth in the 6 o'clock hour. Here's what I will say. At least the Jets gave you moments where you watch the game and you're like, oh boy, that was promising and that looked good. And in the end, you lost to Philadelphia convincingly, but there were at least a few moments of positivity with the Jets yesterday.
Well, in the offense, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much it. I mean, Wilson in the first half looked good. He looked really good. And then, I mean, Elijah Moore is a stud. I mean, those are the two positives come out of yesterday. You don't have, I mean, you're going to be looking for another kicker because you can't kick an extra point.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even realize this because we watch so much stuff, you lose track. Do you realize how many kickers the Jets have had over the last 8 years?
8 years.
Last 5 years.
I'll say eight.
Yeah, I screwed that up. They've had eight. They're going to be nine now because they're going to need a new kicker. They've had eight kickers in the last 5 years.
But I don't understand. Like, how is it that there are just teams that no matter who, they just can't find a kicker? Like, the Chargers never have a kicker. The Jets never have a kicker. I don't understand. And then you look at, certain teams and the guy runs out on the field. You're like, God, this guy's great. And there's
this guy doesn't miss.
They don't have a kicker.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. But let's not focus on the negatives. The first half, Zach Wilson was...
He looked good.
Was good. He looked healthy and he looked fine. And then, I mean, third quarter, not so good. Defense. That really bothered me. And I don't know how Jets fans feel about it, but that really bothered me. Like, and I know we said this a couple different times, is that there were really no expectations wins and losses wise. It's just more how it looked. Like, you could lose a game, but as long as it looked like you were... well-coached, competent, right? Like, you were headed in the right direction. Like, there were positives to take out of the game. Zach Wilson looked good, or the defense looked good. But I said this to you a couple different times, and maybe it's unfair, but I don't think it is that at some point, if we weren't having, the wins to show for our effort, that at least with the new head coach, who we don't know whether or not he can coach or not yet. We don't. This is his first year doing it. Like, there would be some positive signs on the defense because, his expertise is the defensive side of the ball. Like, that would rub off on the defense. It really bothered me that they went into that game yesterday. And then you had Bryce Hall after the game say that they did not prepare the whole week for Gardner Minshew.
Well, let's take a listen to that. And I think that you're right, and I think that it should. And the calling card of the head coach, as he's a defensive mastermind, did not look at yesterday. Here is Bryce Hall asked if the team prepared for one Gardner Minshew this week.
Did you guys prepare for Minshew?
No, we didn't. We were preparing for Jalen.
I mean, how? At a minimum, how do you not have a wrinkle of... We all knew. We all knew. And we knew on Friday that there was a very good chance he wasn't going to play. And Saturday, the report came out that, in fact, Hurts was not going to play. And you didn't prepare at all for the fact that you might see Gardner Minshew in this game?
Yeah, but even if Jalen Hurts does play, like, you go into the game, it's a legitimate game time decision. Like, there's a chance he starts that game and gets hurt again in the first quarter, and then you're going to see Gardner Minshew.
Of course.
And those are two drastically different styles, right? I mean, it was evident. It was. I mean, that first half, I don't know if they had an agreement before the game, like no one's going to play defense in the first half of this game. But
it looked like a Pro Bowl.
Dude, Minshew and Goddard just dominated that game. Dominated the first half of that game.
I mean, Goddard was wide open every time they threw the ball.
Did you see Ashton Davis bounce off of him?
Oh, on that first touchdown, like the four? That was embarrassing. First of all, it wasn't great. He was so wide open. Then he catches it, and you're like, all right, it's going to be first to goal. Nope, he's in.
No, he runs right by Mosley, and then Ashton Davis bounces off of him. I mean, it was embarrassing.
Was it really? Mosley that in a punting situation jumped off sides?
Yes.
And gave him the first down?
Mosley did jump offside, yeah.
That too.
And they were all upset because it was the center, it was Kelsey. Come on, man, stop. There's no excuse for that.
No excuse at all. Just horrendous. Ira in Staten Island. Ira, feel a little better watching Zach Wilson yesterday?
Yeah, I told you guys at the end of last week, you know, going to the game and let me see Zach Wilson take a couple more baby steps, show some progress. He looked good. Granted, they were playing the Eagles defense. And just hear me out, because this is my theory on this whole thing. First of all, I think it's embarrassing that the coach has to make excuses that they didn't at least think about preparing for Minshew. And I think he's lost the locker room, because players usually don't talk out about coaching staffs at this point. And right now, Salah has to put a gag order on these guys, because what Mosley said before the game and what Hall said after the game, and I'm sure others said other things off the record to other reporters, it's a really bad sign in this coaching staff. But Wilson, you know, you see why they drafted him. You see the potential that this guy has. Unfortunately, I don't think Salah's going to benefit from Wilson's talent as a quarterback, or he's going to be gone next year. Because what took place in that field defensively yesterday, it's like a broken record, man. It's week after week after week. They're incompetent. And the Eagles, they came out. You know, don't say that it's the same system. Come on, Hurts doesn't throw for 100 and close to 200 yards in the first half of ball games. Minshew sliced and diced that defense. They played back. And then in the second half, when the Eagles go into the locker room, they sit down. You know what? We're in a shootout with this team right now. We got to change things up. So what do? They play ball control in the second half. They keep the Jets offense off the field. Wilson doesn't get his hands on the ball, so they're down by two scores. And then Mosley, you know, the great ex-Pro Bowl, you know, middle linebacker that they all overpaid for, you know, he jumps on fourth and one. Mm-hmm. It's embarrassing. I'll tell you the truth. I'd fire Olbrich this morning.
It wasn't even fourth and one, though, Ira. It was fourth and three. That was like that. That was the goal of what they were trying to do. I didn't even know if they were going to go for it there.
Oh, right, the draw, right. The fourth and one was the bad call that they overturned, which was also ridiculous. But it's, you know, it's unfortunate that this defense, they're lucky that they got the Saints coming in. And we'll talk about this later in the week. I mean, I don't care who plays quarterback for the Saints. Do you think there's any shot that Sean Payton isn't going to devise some, that Kamara comes back, some type of game plan that Salah's not going to outcoach Sean Payton next week? It's never going to happen.
No chance.
Never going to happen.
No. I mean, there's no excuse for that, too. And then, I mean, Mosley's saying that Fletcher Cox was laughing at them. No respect. He's laughing at your head coach. You didn't prepare for Gardner Minshew. I mean, Minshew started that first two possessions, 8 for 8, 125 yards and two TDs. Come on, man.
And thanks for the call, Ira. And Goddard just, I mean, wide open. I mean, did you not game plan for him either? Did you not know he was going to play in the game?
Apparently not. Because, I mean, that first half was...
What would you, realistically...
You may as well not even have anyone on the field.
What would you say the Eagles' offense is? Like, realistically, like, middle of the road at best?
At best.
With the backup quarterback, middle of the road at best. And they looked like they were an elite offense. I mean, up and they scored on every single possession except for one yesterday.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what play, though. What really aggravated me, the one possession that aggravated me the most all game, and I could probably point to something in every possession, but when your favorite wide receiver, for all the help he gave you last week.
Jalen Reagor, yeah.
Lets the kickoff go over his head, thinking it's going to go in the end zone. And it bounces at the 1 yard line. And they go right down the field. and score a touchdown.
They had no trouble at all.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN. This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
Joe Judge, it's time for him to go.
I'm done with Joe Judge.
A lot of things that I saw today in the way we played, a lot of things that are moving in the right direction.
I can't even believe he could say words like this. They have 250 yards of offense. They put up 9 points.
It's clean house. Daniel Jones gone, Judge gone, Saquon gone, but all over.
There's a real chance the Giants go 4-13 this year. A real chance that they don't win another game.
This it's DPetro and Rothenberg.
Uncle, I give up. I hate watching the Giants. I hate it.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, DPetro, Rothenberg with you, the big 6 o'clock hour. Time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I hate to toot my own horn. You know I'm not that kind of guy. Do you find that I was excellent in the first hour?
I thought that was one of your better first hours ever. Yeah.
Yeah, I was very, very good, which is impressive because I didn't sleep very well. And the Giants were hideous yesterday. Yet I pulled it together and I put that forward.
But if anyone could toot their own horn, you would be one that would try it.
Yeah, I'm a horn tooter. No, you're right.
I'm surprised. This is just I guess it's really another step in the right direction for you. I mean, same guy who decided, you know what, I'm going to go to my son's game. I'll watch the game on DVR, which right. was, I think we undersold how big a step that was for you.
It was a tremendous step. Yep. Thursday night, if you didn't hear, I went to Alex's basketball game, because why would you not schedule an 11-year-old game at 8 o'clock on a Thursday night? They did that, and I taped, DVR'd, as one would say, the Cowboys and Saints game. Came back, watched it in its entirety.
Which is a humongous step. That's the first time ever. And then you show up on this Monday, and I was expecting just devastation.
No.
Screaming, yelling, I'm dead inside, and you kept it together.
The one thing that gets me angriest about this whole thing is listening to Joe Judge after. The Giants, they stink. I know that. They're pathetic. It's embarrassing. Watching them is a joke. All right? I've come to accept that this is what they are. And like I told you, watching them doesn't even get me crazy because this is what they are. So I'm not, like, if your kid's an idiot, right, your child is just stupid, and they take tests, and they come home with 74s. Are you going to scream at them every time? Or are you like, you're just not bright? This is what you are. This is who you are.
The fighting Joe Judge is.
But what gets me angry is listening to him after the game. And, oh, I saw a lot of positive signs. Like, someone needs to get in his ear and say, you make yourself look foolish. Like, the fan base is laughing at you and furious with you for saying stuff like this. At least recognize how bad it is. Don't defend it and see, yeah, you know what? Guys, I don't know if you're witnessing what I'm witnessing, but there's some really good things happening.
There's a lot of things that I saw today in the way we played, a lot of things that are moving in the right direction.
But are we at a point in the season now? I mean, we just finished up, you know, tonight we'll finish up week 13. You're 4-8. That we should be pointing to those little things after you just scored 9 points?
9 points?
You scored 9 points. Nine.
On the heels of what, 14? On the heels of 17? You're the only team in the NFL, I think I heard, that hasn't scored 30 points this year. Is that right?
That sounds about right, yeah. I mean, sitting here looking, you scored 13 against the Broncos. You scored 29 against Washington. You scored 14 against the Falcons.
He scored 14 against the Falcons.
Yeah, 27 against the Saints. Big win.
And they gave you like a quarter plus of, wow, this is good.
You were down 11 at that point. You were doing nothing. And then all of a sudden you turned it on. You scored 27, won that game. You lost 44-20 in Dallas. That's not great. You scored 11 against the Rams.
11?
You got big 25 against the Panthers. Big 25 points.
25? Well, and I think you had maybe 10 at the end of the third quarter.
17 against the Chiefs, 23, big win against the Raiders, 10 against the Buccaneers, 13-7 win against the Eagles. Then you had 9 yesterday.
10-9, 13-9.
There's a lot of things that I saw today in the way we played, a lot of things that are moving in the right direction.
Can I ask you this? What do you see that's moving in the right direction?
What do I see that's moving in the right direction?
Yeah, offensively for this team, because that's what he was talking about. He was talking about the offense. offensively, what do you see? Because maybe I'm so close, right? I'm so close. I love them so much. I can't look at it objectively. But I think you can. What do you see offensively that you say, you know what, Dave? Hit the nail on the head. This is working well on the offense. What is it?
I don't think there's really anything I can point to.
No?
There isn't. I mean, Kenny Galladay's hot, he's hurt now again. So that's not great.
The offensive line look good to you?
No, I mean, Will Hernandez stinks. He's not
stinks.
Good. Will Hernandez is not good at all.
He's atrocious.
At the fact that Matt Peart can't play, that I don't understand that.
Because he stinks bad. Too.
Yeah, but he's that bad because, I mean, Soler's not good.
He must be. No?
Well, he has to be.
So,
Why else would he be playing?
Nate Solder is almost unplayable. Didn't play an entire season and is on his last legs. Yet you can't, and then you now have nothing to play for. And Matt Peart, a second-year tackle, can't get into the lineup? That's how bad it is.
That's how bad it is, yeah. But there were some bright spots. And I don't understand, too. I know Evan Engram drives you crazy, but they were blaming the throw. You know what I'm talking about. Down the left side where it goes off, he almost makes a one-handed catch.
Yeah.
Why did he turn himself around? He turned himself into a knot before he tried to make the catch.
Well, because he's not great.
I'm telling you what, man. My team with the Jets, we have our own problems. I mean, and I'm grasping at straws, but at least, you know, rookie quarterback looked good in the first half. Elijah Moore looks like he's going to be a stud.
He
there's a couple
look good,
positives.
Yep.
And then, you know, watch the Giants. You got, you know, your quarterback's not playing. He's hurt. Kadarius Toney, he's not playing. He's hurt. So, things you want to see you didn't get a chance to see. But two things with the Giants. The fact that you went out and spent the money you spent thinking you were going to be good and you're not, you stink. And then on top of that, the amount of draft equity on the offensive side of the ball, and I'm talking high first round picks, and for the offense to look this bad, I don't know how you deal with it. I don't.
I feel bad for you. You should. You should send me a check. It's just that bad, or at least a Venmo. It's just watching it is terrible. It's probably, and I'm not trying to be mean, it's probably similar to you watching the Jets defense, where you can't, although we have a lot more invested in the offense, right? And we have the second pick, a generational talent. We have the fourth pick. We have Evan Engram. We have high-priced free agents. And to look like that is a joke. It's an absolute joke. And that's Straight Talk Wireless, no contract and no compromise. DPHR Rothenberg presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance, 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Eric in Totowa. Eric, you're on 98.7 ESPN. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, no. Multiple boops. Something terrible has happened to Eric, and now he's gone.
By the way, did you get the clip I sent you after my hot take on Friday?
Refresh my memory. The only thing I remember is Ryan Hurley sent me a picture of Mark Engram getting mauled by a rabid dog.
No, that wasn't it. No. Remember,
what did you send?
Remember I teased the scorching hot take would burn your face off?
Oh, yes.
And then I eased you into it with the Mac Jones.
You did know yourself no favors with Mac Jones is going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Yes.
But I pulled you in, and you're going to be all disappointed, and then
you
dropped the bomb.
You roped me in, you angered me, and then you came out with the big guns, and you said that Micah Parsons will be Defensive Player of the Year.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
So then I sent you the clip, and this is why I should be an NFL insider, Peter King. Same kind of take.
Well, it's a good take.
That's Peter King, Dave. That's Peter King.
I understand who it is. I ever tell you about the time Peter King and I went? We went nose to nose. I was screaming at him.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Why would you go nose to nose with Peter King?
Screaming at him. So I'm filling in years ago for Colin Cowherd, right?
Oh,
on
nice.
The network, and it was me and Ruko. We're filling in for Colin Cowherd, and the show I believe started at 10, but we got there early to prepare, as many would, and then we taped an interview with Peter King. And I think Ryan said, where do you rank J.J. Watt as far as just great defensive players? And Peter King said, I think he...
Hold on. Let me guess. Yeah. He took a shot at... He compared J.J. Watt to Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, exactly. Am I that transparent?
No, I could just I knew where that was headed.
So he said, I think he's as good as I've seen. I think he is right there with Lawrence Taylor.
That's Lawrence Taylor.
And I went crazy. I was like, Peter, I have tremendous respect for you. I think you do a great job. I'm a big fan of yours. That is asinine. How could you say something like I
you
went.
You know what? I swear to God, I'm going to go right through this bananas and smack you in the nose. Went,
bananas. So we finished the interview. He said, I don't want to go on with that person anymore. And they had to edit it. So they took 5 minutes out of the interview. 5 minutes of me going after Peter King.
I'm a baby. You're a baby.
It's a terrible take.
I'll tell you what, though, and that he said that again, though. That was part of the comparison he made with Micah Parsons. Like, he has this thing for Lawrence Taylor. Like, it was the same thing.
Well, get him back on the show. I'll go after him again.
He won't go on the show now.
Why not?
You've already turned. How many guests, how many relationships are you going to ruin?
I'll ruin all of them if you're going to compare Micah Parsons and or J.J. Watt to Lawrence Taylor. I'll ruin Buster. I'll take down Rex Ryan. I will go after everybody.
Like that
even
kind of
Santiago.
Party?
Even Santiago, who
everybody.
Is just a grotesque Cowboys apologist. If you gave him truth serum and said, is Micah Parsons Lawrence Taylor, would say, no, I can't say that. Right, Raymond?
No, Dave, he's looking pretty good right now.
Oh, come on! Goodbye, goodbye!
I'll say this much. I will say this much. He's ready to give a run for the money of the most sacks by a rookie. And he's getting those comparisons from a lot more people than Peter King.
You're grotesque. Really. You know what? Okay. I looked at you as a savior. I looked at you as someone who's you respect the game too much to do this. And now you go here.
Okay, so can I say this at least?
Maybe.
I will thank the Giants every day for not taking him.
Listen, he's
from this day forward.
I've said he's terrific. I think he is a wonderful player, and you should be thrilled to have him. You're really going to sit here in front of God and everybody and make statements like you think he is Lawrence Taylor?
I didn't say I think he was Lawrence Taylor. I think that he's on a very impressive pace.
That's not what was said. What was said was Lawrence Taylor.
Are you watching the tape of this guy, what he's doing?
See,
he's playing outstanding.
I never denied that he's terrific.
So you like my hot take then, Santi?
I might be riding the hog with this one.
Oh, get on the hog. Get on it.
Why did you do this?
Why, two guys, why one hog.
Because I know that RJ is there like, yes, push forward with this. Yeah, do this. Get him crazy. Why?
You say this like RJ has to push me in any way, shape, or form.
But I know that he's there pushing you in his little, he's manipulating you.
You know nothing.
He's like the Geppetto. To your what's the guy's name? Pinocchio.
I'm not. But do you also realize you just went Stephen A. Smith with God and them boys? You're saying this in front of God.
You know God and them boys. You know the Holy Spirit. God and them boys.
I said God and them boys.
No, you said God and everybody. But still,
God and them boys. Everybody.
You know, the Holy Trinity.
Who else is there?
The apostles.
You know. You know God and Jesus
God
and
Moses
boys.
And everybody.
Yeah. You know,
but
Peter,
I mean,
Paul.
People are listening. There are high-ranking, important people that are listening, and you have the audacity to compare Micah Parsons, who is a very good player, to the greatest?
There's a reason that people are saying that. And again, I'm not the first person that said this, and I'm not going to be the last person that said this.
Well, you know what? Shame on all of you. Shame on you. Shame on Peter King. Shame on Rick. Shame on all of you.
I didn't say it. Don't put me into this.
So you don't agree.
No, I don't agree yet. Good. It's his first year. Relax.
Good.
But you guys are all behind my hot take, though. It feels like you guys are all...
He might win Defensive Player of the Year. He's that good.
We could get four guys in this hog. Who knows?
But better than the other disastrous takes you guys had, that what's-his-face Diggs was going to win it.
Guy might have the most interceptions since Night Train Lane, and you're going to disparage him?
Doesn't matter. You get the ball thrown. I mean, Night Train Lane wasn't going up against Taysom Hill.
Oh, now stop. Stop yourself. You're embarrassing yourself.
Mike Glennon, baby. Taysom Hill.
Yeah, Mike Glennon. It's going to be
intercepting
Jake Fromm.
The wonders of the world. You know what? I'm not in the mood for any of you today.
I can't wait to see Jake Fromm in L.A.
Yeah, that'll be a treat. Getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit is just another reason banking with Capital One is one of the easiest decisions in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A. Member FDIC. I was totally composed. I was very relaxed. I was well within reason. You all have now angered me. I got Geppetto, I got Pinocchio, and I got DiPietro, and you have all angered me.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
The great Rex Ryan. Good morning, Rex. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're not great, to be honest. Giants, Jets fans here. It's watching the
Air. That was a rough one.
It's just brutal. It's just absolutely terrible. So walk me through this. I am done. I think a lot of Giants fans are done with Joe Judge. He comes out after the game and just goes on this soliloquy of, oh, things, you know, offensively we're making strides and this looked good and that looked good and this looked great. And they scored 9 points, didn't have 300 yards of offense. That's on the heels of 13 points, which is on the heels of 17 points. It's a disaster. Why, in your mind, should the Giants keep Joe Judge for another season?
No, I'm the wrong guy to ask that question to. Because, I mean, you know that this guy, in my opinion, is hard to like. You know what I mean? So I'm not a huge Joe Judge fan and never have been. You know, I think actually the only time I like what he did, you know, there was one time at one point last year when he almost sounded like he was proud to be the head coach of the Giants, you know, because it took like half a season. And then all of a sudden he did that. I'm like, all right, good for him. Maybe he's figuring this thing out, you know. But, nah, it's not the case. But, yeah, he's, you know, I don't get it. I don't get the love fest here. You know, I saw where everybody now is Gettleman's gone for sure, it sounds like. But they're going to keep Joe Judge. What? What the hell would you do that for? Why? I mean, if you're going to let the GM go, why aren't you going to let the head coach go as well? I mean, their offense is absolutely brutal. They could have stayed out there for 2 weeks and not scored a touchdown. So it's like, I'm sorry, but, you know, and here's the funny thing. They were actually pass blocking pretty decent in that game at times. And it just, you know, quarterback standing back there, Glennon, you know, eating a sandwich, and then he gets sacked. And it's like, oh, the protection stinks. Wait a second. They were blocking him. But get rid of the damn football. But either way, it's they're hard to watch, man. Oh my God, they're hard to watch. And you know, I guess if you're looking for a positive, at least their defense is actually playing decent. But man, oh man, that was hard to watch.
Yeah, but Rex, where do they go? I mean, this isn't like the Jets, right? Where we knew, you know, rookie head coach, rookie quarterback, they would struggle. Right? There weren't going to be a lot of wins. But I mean, the Giants went out and spent money. Like, they thought they were going to be a team that could compete for a playoff spot. And I mean, you just mentioned it. I mean, it's tough to watch. Like, just honest assessment, like where this team is at, like moving forward. And they got no money to spend, by the way, next offseason. Like,
right?
Where is this team moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a complete rebuild. And tear it up and build it back up. This is what happens when you take a shot at getting into the playoffs and all of a sudden it blows up in your face, then generally you generally blow the whole damn thing up and say, all right, we're gonna start again. And yeah, there's gonna be some lean times, all right, lean years, but then we hope we can, you know, we gotta take a step back to make to the leap forward. And that's what they have to do. I mean, you know, now look, they're playing, they've got the rest of the season. What, we got 5 games left? Hell, I don't even know. All right. But they better do something or they will blow the whole damn thing up. And I'm talking about every coach, GMs, you name it, they'll blow it up. I mean, they did that in Buffalo when I was there and we were 500, you know. So it's like, I mean, trust me, it's if you go for it, if you're trying to make a playoff push and you don't get there, all right, which it certainly doesn't look like they're going to get there, then the one conclusion is blow the thing up.
Rex Ryan joins us here on the show. Rex, so we take a lot of phone calls. I mean, this is, you know, every day it feels like about how bad the Giants offensive line is, you know, whether or not Daniel Jones can play. And then a lot of Saquon Barkley calls. And I know the offensive line isn't good and he's been hurt, but he's back now. It looks like he's starting to get healthy. Is it fair to expect more from Saquon Barkley, or is it just he can't have success because the offensive line stinks?
Well, when you're the second overall pick, yeah, you got to – and you're a running back, then hell yeah, you expect more. I mean, we expect to see the same guy when he came into the league. That's what we're expecting. Even coming off injuries and all that, whether it's fair or not fair, that's it. And great running backs make an offensive line. Not, you know, and you know, shoot, we've seen that. Walter Payton never had a dang Pro Bowl offensive lineman until Jimbo Covert, with like the last two or three years of his career. So, you know, and he never, you know, but his running style is way different. You know, Saquon almost looks like he's trying to, he almost needs space. He doesn't create space. You know, I'd like, if I was coaching Saquon Barkley, I would sit back and say, son, I need 4 yards every time you touch the football. That's it. Give me 4 yards every single time you touch the football. And that, what will happen is all of a sudden he'll start popping it in there, and then boom, maybe that's when the big play happens. Right now, he's searching for the breakout run and the Sports Center run. And you don't get those until you get those hard yards. And he's got to understand, we need those 4 yards. Just give me 4 yards every time you touch it. And if they do, he'll be successful, and so will that team. But until he has that kind of mentality, it's going to look like he's stopping and starting and bouncing and turning around backwards and all that other stuff that we're seeing. And it's just he's not effective right now.
No, nothing on that offense is effective at all right now. Rex Ryan with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Let me turn the conversation to the Jets. The quarterback, I thought, looked better. Elijah Moore looks good. But, Rex, I mean, you're a defensive guy. Watching that defense yesterday must have caused you a lot of angst. That was all. Oof. I don't want you to go after Robert Saleh. Please don't go after Robert Saleh. But,
well, I'm not. Rex. I mean, I give my honest opinion.
Yeah, I don't hold back.
I give my honest opinion from jump. All right, the 5 years I've been doing that, and if you think that that's acceptable, playing that style of defense, no chance in hell. Like, they got bludgeoned. The Jets got bludgeoned in this game, and there's a stat that I always look at, and you can see if you're controlling the football game or your opponent is. And that's runs and completions. So when you get rushing attempts plus completions, a lot of times you can tell who's really winning the football game and who's controlling the game and who's being more physical. Well, to me, I mean, they gave up the Eagles had 61 runs and completions with a backup quarterback in there, okay? And the Jets had 40. So you're getting completely dominated, time of possession, everything else. That's what happened in that game. And as good as the kid played and the offense was playing, they couldn't get the ball back. And so it just, you know, it just snowballed on them. And obviously Philly was in complete control of the game in the second half. They just absolutely dominated that third quarter. And by then, it's over.
Yeah, the Jets had the ball for 70 seconds in the third quarter.
Yeah,
seconds.
Well, there you go. that's not good, I don't know.
Rex, now, I heard the explanation after the game. In whatever, listen, I don't get paid millions of dollars to coach football, but I would imagine, since I knew it, Dave knew it, Shefty knew it, I'm sure you knew it, the entire week it felt like Jalen Hurts was going to be a legitimate game time decision, and there's a chance that Gardner Minshew would probably play. I think even right. Saturday night it was reported that Minshew was going to play. How do you spend the entire week not once preparing for the possibility that Gardner Minshew is going to play that game?
Well, I think what happens is going into the game, you know, you're expecting the starter or whatever, but if you determine that, you know, there's questions or what have you with a backup quarterback, it, you know, if there's a distinct difference in style of play, then absolutely you're going to be prepared for that. If there's no difference, then really it's like, this is going to be our plan for the game, and that's it. But, you know, and obviously with the Jets, they obviously determined that there was really the style of play was not going to be different, that they were still going to run the runs and, you know, the RPOs and all that other stuff that that Jalen Hurts does. And let's face it, the MO of the Eagles never really changed. They ran the ball 41 times, you know, so that's what you got to look at now. The Eagles are a run team. They're a run team first now, and ever since they took that formula over, they've been winning. And so I don't think it was, you know, it was changed. Now, again, I haven't heard all the things. I haven't heard any of the conversations about that. So this is the first I'm hearing that they weren't prepared for Gardner Minshew.
The only reason I ask, it's because, I mean, you gave pretty much the same explanation that Robert Saleh did. I don't know. I mean, I haven't watched Jalen Hurts. I don't know if he throws the ball or is as accurate as Gardner Minshew is. I mean, he sliced them up early in that game. The only reason I bring it up is because I usually react, as a former player, like what the players are saying. And the fact that Bryce Hall actually answered that question and said, no, we didn't prepare all week for Gardner Minshew, would lead me to believe, as a former player, that was something that maybe in the locker room was something that was being talked about.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And this is what happens in a losing locker room. This don't think that this isn't an isolated case. This is something that happens in a losing locker room. Unfortunately, there's people that, you know, that are deflecting things. It's not my fault. It's this guy's fault. It's this, whatever. And that's what happens sometimes. So, and that's why next year, like the draft and free agency, you better make sure you're bringing the right kind of guys in. And I think it's absolutely critical for the Jets to hit on that, because they got to bring in, they got to change a lot of stuff. And this losing right here, the way they've been doing it, you know, is not sitting well with the players, but it ain't sitting well with anybody, you know. So you better make sure you got everybody that'll jump in there and hold that damn rope together. And if you got that, you got a chance. If you don't have that, you got no chance.
Yeah, it looks like they have zero chance at the moment. Rex Ryan with us here, 98.7 ESPN. A couple more quick ones, we'll let you run. When you look at the game tonight, huge football game. Who gets the win, New England or Buffalo?
Well, I mean, I've been hearing that the weather could be bad or whatever, but if the weather's really bad, it actually favors New England, you know, so because they can run the football, where this Bills team is all about the pass. So I think a bad weather game, if it's a huge crosswinds and all that, it's not about rain or snow. It's more about how windy it is. If it's a real windy game, then I like the Patriots' chances here. Other than that, I was all set to say I want the Buffalo Bills to win this game. I think they will win this game. But, you know, unless there's a big-ass crosswind, I feel good about the Bills in this one.
Rex Ryan joins us here on the show. Rex, were you surprised with Pittsburgh being able to beat Baltimore? Or is that just, I mean, with all the chatter, you know, around Pittsburgh, Tomlin, they're not playing tough enough and everything else. Did you expect them to kind of show up the way that they did?
Well, I knew they'd compete. But going into that fourth quarter, I'm like, God, the only thing I recognize from Pittsburgh is their uniforms, because they weren't physical. They weren't doing anything. And in that game, you know, I thought Baltimore gifted them that game, man. You know, and here's one thing I know for sure. If I'm playing against Ben Roethlisberger, the one thing I don't do inside the 10-yard line is play zero coverage. The last two things, they played zero coverage, which is straight man. All right? And if you do that against Ben Roethlisberger, he's going to beat you. The one thing he can't do is throw in the zone and throw into, you know, I used to rush three and make him throw and hold the football, because I knew he couldn't run. And that was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever. But I'm telling you, I was the most shocked guy in the world when they came out and ran cover zero, back-to-back plays. And so the defense gifted them that. They gave up 17 points in the fourth quarter, and yet they still have a chance to win. And I think it's funny where people are questioning, well, Harbaugh shouldn't have gone for two. The hell he shouldn't have. He dang sure should have, because if you've given up 17 points in the fourth quarter, you're not going to stop them. That's the message you're sending. You can't stop them anymore. So if I'm John Harbaugh, I would have gone for it too. I've got a quarterback that's an excellent run pass guy, and the choice of play, he got a freebie right there. He just tried to make it a little too cute instead of just popping it over the linebacker for a touchdown. But and Mark Andrews had an awful day. I don't know how many balls he dropped, but there was one. I've seen him make that kind of catch before. But other than that, you know, we would have been praising the heck out of him. But right now, I don't think he deserves the criticism he's getting for going forward on two, because I would have done the exact same thing.
Rex, last one, we'll let you go right after this. We've had this debate on the show, and it has angered me, and I know you're going to give the right answer because you're a smart man. Heard a lot of comparisons between Micah Parsons and Lawrence Taylor, and it makes me want to rip my hair out because I think Parsons is terrific. He's not Lawrence Taylor. Can you clarify a little bit here?
No, but I will say this. He is a freaking dominant football player, and you better know where the hell he's at because he can wreck things. And, you know, he's not Lawrence Taylor. There's only one Lawrence Taylor.
Thank you.
All right, in the history of this game. But I'm going to tell you this. This dude is special. He is absolutely special. And, you know, is it, you know, it kind of reminds me of a, I'm not going to say Derek Thomas, but it's kind of like a Cornelius Bennett, you know, like just, you know, aggressive type, you know, guy. He can play off the ball. He can play as a defensive end. Like, this dude's special, man. He is absolutely special.
We agree. And he's also not Lawrence Taylor. All right, Rex.
No.
Yeah.
You're the best. One of those.
You're the best. All right, we appreciate you. Have a great week, and we will talk to you next Monday.
All right, look forward to it.
All right, there you go. That is Rex Ryan. All right, you see?
But no one said he was Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, I got. Oh, he's Lawrence Taylor.
That's Lawrence Taylor! That's Lawrence Taylor!
No one knows what he's going to be.
He's not going to be Lawrence Taylor.
No one has any idea what he's going to turn himself into.
I tell you, he's not going to be Lawrence Taylor. And Rex, did you hear Rex? He shot. He's like, no, no.
Did you also hear Rex say he's a stud and you need to know where he is? Who did that sound like?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.